Turn your Bibles with me this morning and let me read, starting in Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 17. It says this, Ephesians 4:17, Paul the Apostle says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness." Just one more verse. Well, let me finish it. But you, that's us, have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This morning, we're only going to cover two verses. Powerful verses. I want to talk to you this morning about life without Christ, okay? Meaning about everybody is on a journey. Every person on earth, they are walking someplace. You either have an empty walk, and the reason that you do is because you are without Christ. So we've learned our doctrinal position. We have chapters 1, 2, and 3. We've nailed those things down. Now, as we enter in this section, all the way from, well, here until chapter 6, verse 9, we're going to be looking and learning how to walk worthy of our calling. And remember, to walk worthy of our calling, that word means is a picture of a set of scales. It means to be equal, or balanced, rather, equal in doctrine, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and equal in application, chapters 3, 4, and or 4, 5, 6. So you know the truth, but you also have to do the truth. You hear the word, but you have to do the word. If you don't, you're not balanced in your walk. So with all of that being said this morning, a Christian, and that's who I am, and that's who you are. A Christian is not a person that woke up one morning and said, "You know what? I think it's time for me to get my act together. I think I'm going to go down to the bookstore, a Christian bookstore, buy a Bible. I'm going to go find a church." That's not how it happens. You don't just wake up one morning and say, "You know what? I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I'm going to live a good life, a moral life." No. That's not how it works. See, a Christian is a new person, a new creation, one who has never, ever existed before. Matter of fact, we are now have a new nature because we're born from above. We're partakers of the divine nature of God himself. Now, listen carefully, Christian. We don't walk like the world. The reason? Because we're not of this world, nor are we being conformed to this world, nor do we love the world. No, and we certainly don't trust the world, this entire planet that we live on, which was brought to its knees in less than 60 days by the coronavirus. No, we don't trust this world at all. What we do is we learn our walk. We learn how to walk with Christ. We walk in love. We walk in light. We walk in wisdom. Before us, these two verses, they're the most horrific description of a person without Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. It is heartbreaking. Thank God, thank God, thank God that we are saved, because that's what those two verses is what we used to be. And we're not that any longer. We are saved. In other words, we don't have, a person without Christ has nothing but an empty walk and an empty life. They don't know that, but they certainly don't have the fullness of life like we do. See, we are full if you're a believer. The Bible says that we have been blessed, or thanks be unto God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. We are overflowing with the blessings of God. Lloyd Martin says this, or Lloyd Jones rather, says this about the scriptures we're going to cover this morning. It says, in these two verses, we find the most masterly description of life without Christ that has ever been encountered. This morning, let's look at the empty walk beginning in verse 17. Paul starts out and he says, this I say. Remember, we left off that we are gifts of God and that we've been given a divine supernatural gift of God. We're all gifts connected one to another in the body of Christ. So he says, this I say, therefore, and look at this strong, strong word. He says, and I testify in the Lord. When Paul does that, he is now, it's intense. He is using his apostolic authority, okay? So let me read it again. And with that in mind, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you, the believer, the Christian, the spirit-filled, blood-bought, purchased Christian of God, that you should no longer walk or you should no longer live as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, the word Gentile means they're not a Jew, okay? The church at Ephesus was a Gentile church. But the word Gentile here, as it does everywhere, represents those who are outside of Christ, meaning that they don't know the Lord, okay? So we're dealing with the lost people. That's why Paul says, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk. He says, no, don't do that. So therefore and walk, what does it do? It takes us right back to chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says for us to walk worthy of our calling. He says, don't live like that. J.B. Phillips' translation says it this way. Pardon me, do not live as the Gentiles live, for they live blindfold in a world of illusion. Now, when Paul says don't live like those other people, the lost, those that are empty, listen, he's not demeaning the lost. Paul loves people. He was the one, he's the greatest soul winner in the entire New Testament, except for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's simply sharing an eternal truth with us. And, of course, the church there at Ephesus as well. You know, the Christians, we know the word of God. We're commanded not only to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, but to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Paul's not demeaning the lost at all. Loved one, listen, God loves lost people. God loves empty, lost people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, pardon me, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches us, as it continues in John's gospel that I just quoted from, in verse 17, it says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Second Peter 3:9, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God loves the lost. However, either God's word is correct or the world is correct. Both of them cannot be correct. God's word is always correct. It says in 1 Peter 1:25, for the word of God endures forever and ever and ever and ever. Verse 17 again, that you should no longer walk, it says, as the rest are like the Gentiles walk. Why? Because Christian, listen, they were no longer, back then they said they were pagans. They're no longer pagans. They're not really even Gentiles anymore. There's no Jew. There's no slave. There's no male. We're all one in Christ Jesus, okay? No, in other words, we're not lost and we can't walk like them. This is a perfect example right here, this verse, of understanding or knowing doctrine. We are not pagans. We're not Gentiles. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. If you look back at chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners. But here's who you are. This is who we are. Your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So again, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, those unbelievers in the futility of your mind. Man, that word futility, you know what it means? It means emptiness, the emptiness of the mind. That's an empty walk. The empty walk of the lost is empty because of their minds. Their minds are literally empty. It doesn't mean they're not smart. Doesn't mean they're not intelligent. But it means, when you say futility, it means life doesn't really have a purpose. Real life doesn't really have a real meaning. Why? Because life without Jesus Christ is an empty life. It is an empty existence. And if you are lost this morning, listen, God loves you. Don't turn me off. I love you. But you know what? You're clueless. And I'm not saying that to berate you or beat you up, but you are clueless because, see, you believe that all that you have to do is find happiness or find peace or success in the world. But see, what the end result of all that, in the finality of it, will be nothing more than disappointment. And then finally, death. Listen, lost people are empty people. And this life, all that it promises you, all that it promised me, will give you absolutely nothing. End the end. We live in a world that loves empty people because it's filled with empty things. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world. Do not love the things in the world. See, things, empty things, things that they just don't, they'll never help us. Oh, it's nice to have things. Nothing wrong with having things. But they'll never really get us where we need to go. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, not a few things, but all that is in the world, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from or of the Father, but it is of this world system that is anti-God and anti-Christ. Listen, the world that we live in, that no one has control over, that no one knows what to do about. This world that we live in is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful that we, the believer, we're not empty. We used to be empty. But you know what? We have now been redeemed from an empty, useless life. Man, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct. Aimless conduct, or your empty conduct. But it says, but with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb without spot and blemish, we were redeemed. Listen, what does that mean? It means that each believer, we have been redeemed from a life on this earth, a life of being empty. It doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter how well educated you are. Every person that comes into this life, every person that is born empty. Why? Because they are in Adam. And in Adam, the only thing that Adam can give anyone is death. By him death came, and by him sin came. Now listen, the empty life, think about it, that futility of mind and all of it. Man, listen, a person that doesn't know Christ, a person without Christ, their minds are empty. Their hearts are empty. It doesn't mean they're not pay their taxes and do good in life and treat others with respect, but they're empty. They're in Adam. They are empty. They have empty hearts. They have empty. Their life is empty. And unless they are born again, unless a person is born from above, he will remain in emptiness for all eternity and all of life upon this planet. See, listen, do you know why lost people are empty people? It's because of what their mind. Listen to what Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, meaning those that are in Adam, okay, those that are without Christ, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, and the reason, because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, the natural man, those that are in Adam, the one that are in this life, they are empty, okay? Listen, lost people, lost empty people. Do you know what? You'd be sitting on your couch right now. Or if when the church is open, you could even be sitting right here and attend church. And everything that comes out of the Word of God you hear, it might seem like it's all foolishness to you. Why? It's because, see, if you're not born from above, you can't really receive the things of God. You can't welcome them into your heart. And, you know, you can only welcome the things of the world into your heart because the Word of God is foolishness to you. You know, that's why you might have said, well, you know what, I tried to read the Bible, but I just couldn't get it. That's because it just doesn't make sense to those that are still in Adam. You have to get out of Adam and get into Christ. Now, you know, the empty walk of the lost, their mind, the reason it's an empty walk is their mind is empty of the things of God, the Word of God. Again, has nothing to do with intelligence. Man, there's a lot of smart people, intelligent, brilliant people in this world. But the mind here is speaking about the total person or the total personality of that individual. If you don't have God, God's Word, in your mind, it's impossible to have God in your actions. Why? You're empty. You need God. You need Jesus to be in your heart. You have an empty walk in your life. Now look at the next one. Having their understanding darkened. Let me give you a Greek scholar's translation of that. The scholar says, this translation reads, those who have been permanently blinded with respect to the mind. So having their understanding, look at that word, darkened. That is the empty walk of every person who is without Jesus Christ, their Lord. Now listen, they don't know. If you're lost, I love you, but listen to me. You don't know that you're in darkness. You don't know that. You don't know that you live in darkness. Another thing is, you don't know and believe and realize that darkness is in you. Yeah. See, you're empty. That's what happens when you're in Adam. And in Adam, all die. In Christ, all shall be made alive. See, if you are having an empty walk in this world, you're lost. Your understanding is all that is darkened. That means that you don't know this. One day, this church, the real church, the true church in the world, is going to be caught away. We're going to be raptured suddenly in the twinkling of an eye. Man, we're going to disappear from this planet. It might happen today. It might happen tonight. But loved one, it will happen. God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. And here's the problem. You don't know that. And you know what? You don't know what the entire world is going to face. Look at our world right now. The entire world, over one thing, the coronavirus, it's destroyed our economy. It's killed people all over the world. It's brought this nation, it's brought every nation on earth, filled it with fear, brought it to its knees, and everybody's clamoring. If they just could find one person who could get us out of this mess, who could restore the economy, who could kill this virus, if they could just find one person, they'd follow him. Why? Because the world, see, all of this is happening. Listen, history is his story. It's not man's. We are going toward the end. We are living in the last days. This world, right this minute, is ripe for the man of sin to appear. But you don't know that. And once the church is all called away, loved one, listen to me now. The great tribulation period is going to begin. Oh, God, it's going to be the worst. There has never been a time like this that's coming upon this planet. Men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. They will beg to die, but they can't die because death is going to take a holiday, loved one. And matter of fact, those darkened minds, you know what's going to happen in the tribulation period when the wrath of God is being poured out? You should read the Bible about the fifth bold judgment that is poured out in Revelation 16:10. It says that darkness, that the angels, whenever they poured out the bowl, it says the kingdom of Satan, the Antichrist, became full of darkness. Why? Well, their minds are dark anyway. God doesn't want a dark mind. It says full of darkness. And you know what they did? They gnawed their tongues because of the darkness. That means that this darkness was so supernaturally dark that it caused pain. See, if the lost, if you're lost, dear God, it's you're walking in emptiness and you don't know that. And you know what else you don't know? Like the Lord said, he said, you know, in John 3:19, he says, oh, you know, this is condemnation. This is the judgment from God. This is condemnation. He said that the light has come, meaning Jesus Christ. The light has come. The only true light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The empty walk of those outside of Christ. Those two verses, loved one, you should be shouting right now, Christian, because that's what we have been delivered from. The empty walk of the lost. They don't know that they love darkness. I didn't know that I love darkness. And the reason I didn't know is because my understanding was darkened. I didn't know that I was finding joy in darkness. I didn't know that. I couldn't figure, how would I have known? And I unknowingly embraced darkness because I didn't know it was dark. I just was doing my own thing. This darkness is so powerful, loved one. It is so powerful that those who never get out of that darkness will spend eternity in outer darkness. Jesus said in Matthew 18:12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, hell is a subject that the church, few speak about it today, and I have no joy speaking about it, but I will not deny the reality of Scripture. There's no clock in hell that says, man, I finally served my sentence. There's not a door to say, okay, I've been punished enough or whatever is going to happen there. No, all I know is that hell is forever. It's a place that's forever in outer darkness, and God doesn't want anyone to go there. The Bible teaches in Matthew's gospel that hell was not created for man. It was created for the devil. It was created for the angels. God wants to save every person, having their understanding darkened. Now listen, a dark mind, and if you're lost, you don't know you have a dark mind. And a dark mind, loved one, is just, it's empty of what's right or wrong, really. I mean, you have a sense of that, but you're empty of true discernment. And as you go through life, a dark mind can only do one thing. You can only experiment with life because you don't know what life is. You didn't know that God had a plan for you and a purpose for you and so forth. And you know what? A dark mind doesn't know about the power of darkness. It's powerful. Let me give you the scripture. Colossians 1:13, it talks about how Jesus has delivered us, thank God, from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Listen, darkness is power. And you know what? If your understanding is darkened, if your mind is empty of the things of God, then loved one, listen, here's the thing that happens. See, you don't know you're in darkness. You don't know your mind is empty of the things of God. And here's what Satan does. He makes light, or darkness rather, because he is dark. He makes it look like light. He makes it look like a great thing. Listen, a dark mind is an empty mind. Why? Because it doesn't know that true light is available for them. Paul, when he was speaking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 27, telling him about Jesus, how Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus, filled him with the Spirit and all of that, and called him to preach the good news. He said this. He said, listen, King Agrippa, he's called me, and here's the reason, to open their eyes, meaning everybody, all mankind, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God, and the reason that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Listen to me. If you do not have Christ, you're empty. You're empty right this minute. And you know what? You will never, never treat darkness as something that is strange. Never, because you don't know it. You'll never treat it as something strange until your eyes are opened by God. Listen, that's what we need, and that's what every person needs. Listen, the fall messed every person on earth up, okay, that's ever been born. The fall literally darkened man's understanding because we all came from Adam. Listen, Adam was full in the garden. Oh, he had everything. He had deep, tender fellowship with the Lord. They walked in the garden all day long. They were over everything in the garden, he and Eve. Oh, listen, but when he sinned, then his understanding now, because he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, his mind now was darkened. And Adam and Eve, you know the story, God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And they walked into from perfect paradise to a wilderness. And when they did, they walked out empty. That's why if you don't know Christ, you are empty. Did you know that the most brilliant mind in the world, no matter how smart they are, brilliant they are, cannot see through this darkness? That means that a brilliant mind is no use to this kind of darkness. See, if you don't know Christ, you are lost. The lost, they are empty, and you must have the light of God. Let me give you the reason. 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul writes, "But if the good news is veiled, if it's hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing," meaning those who are empty, those that are outside of Christ, those that are lost. He says, and it's not because of, hidden because of bad preaching or good preaching. That's not the reason. Listen to why. It says, whose minds, there's that word, the understanding of the mind, it's been darkened, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. That's the devil, loved one. Who do not believe, lest the light of the good news, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Listen, Jesus defeated Satan. He is a defeated foe. He is the defeated father of every lie. He is not only the defeated father of every lie, he is the defeated prince of this world, the God of this age, if you will. He's defeated, and yet he still has power to blind a person who is an unbeliever, to blind your mind. I don't need Jesus. Why would I need Jesus? Somebody could be talking to you about the Lord, and immediately, man, you start shutting down. He could talk to you about Buddha, it wouldn't bother you. He could talk to you about Confucius, it wouldn't bother you. You could talk about worshiping a rat, and it wouldn't bother you. But you mentioned the name of Jesus, the only name that a person can be saved by. Oh, loved one, listen to me. Then you know what happens? He attacks your mind. He uses lies. He uses deceptions. He'll do anything to stop you, the lost, the empty one, from coming to Jesus Christ. He causes man to reject the greatest news ever given on this planet, that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven, that you've become a new person, that heaven can be your home. It says, "For we do not preach ourselves," Paul says, "but Christ Jesus the Lord." Here it comes. "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." Oh man, the moment you come to Christ, the light explodes. You see clearly. You understand that you've been deceived. You see, you have to be born again. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Matter of fact, he is the only light of the world. "He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the life of light." Yes, and that's what you need. You see, I used to be in darkness, but God delivered me. That's why in Ephesians 5:8, listen to what it says. "For you were once darkness." Not in darkness, darkness. What a word is that? I'm not anymore, though. It says, you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In other words, Christians now, because of the grace of God and being in Christ, we now can manifest the light of God. Now look at verse 18. Again, it says, being, or literally having been separated, okay, alienated from the life of God. That's what happened at the fall, okay? So separated from what life really is, meaning the life that God himself possesses. It says, you're separated from that. You're alienated from that. Listen, when Adam fell, everybody fell. We fell with him, if you will. But what's so horrible, we fell away from the life of God. See, Adam died spiritually. Later, he died physically. He was removed from the garden. He went out of paradise, and he went into the wilderness of the world, loved one. God was with him, but he was still alienated from that life. Listen, see, a lost person, an empty person, they go through all of the activities of life. But you don't possess life, meaning eternal life. Oh man, listen, you're held captive in spiritual death. And you know what? The only life that a lost person can live is the empty life they inherited from Adam. You don't have any other life. So the empty walk of the lost, if you went back to Ephesians 2, the walk that I used to be in, it says right there, it says we walked according to the course of the world. That means I was dominated and controlled by the ups and downs, the swings, the mood swings, whatever the world said to do, whatever the world said was right. I was dominated by that. I was controlled by that. No, and not only that, it says that I also walked according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The devil who works, he works in those who don't know Christ. He worked in me, and I didn't know it. Had someone told me that when I was lost, I would have probably punched them. Do you understand? But listen, I'm telling you the truth because this is God's word. It's not my word. Satan works in the lost. He just does. And how does he do it? Satan loves lost, dead people, meaning dead in sin, dead in trespasses. And you know what he does? He works. That means he gives energy to dead people. He gives energy to the lost, those that do not know Christ. He fills empty hearts. He fills empty minds. He fills your he gives you empty plans. It'll never take you anywhere. And you know why you're in this condition? If you're outside of Christ, if you're without Christ, do you know why the lost are, they're empty of life, they're full of darkness, and you're cut off and alienated from the life of God? Here's why. It says in verse 18, because of the, let me read it the way it should read, because of the deliberate ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. This is a condition brought on by you, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't say because they're ignorant. That's not what he says at all. He says the ignorance that is in them. What does that mean? Well, blindness means hardness, okay? So what he's talking about here, it's the blindness in the heart, the hard. The heart, man, that's you keep rejecting Christ. You keep rejecting Christ. And you know what happens? Your heart gets harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. Blindness, again, means hardness or literally stone, a hard stone. It's all calloused and so forth. It's a heart that gets one callous, another callous, and it builds up to finally you don't feel anything. Now listen to me. A hard heart or a blindness of heart, if you don't know Christ, now listen, see, you can't see what's in front of you because it's the blindness of heart. So there's something that's standing between your heart and the truth of God. It's right there. It's right in front of you, but you can't see it. So your eyes have to be opened. We call it, or the Bible calls it, a veil. Let me read it to you. In 2 Corinthians 3:14, but their minds were blinded or hardened, talking about the Jews. Until this day, the same veil it says, remains unlifted at the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ, taken away from your heart. It says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, it says a spiritual veil or a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, listen, when anyone in any color, in any nation, when anyone turns to the Lord, when you trust Christ Jesus, listen now, the veil is taken away. You turn to Christ and suddenly light comes in. It says, and now the Lord is Spirit. And it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or there is liberty. Liberty from what? The life of emptiness. The life of the empty life, the empty walk, where sin is, you're the slave of sin and all the rest of it. Oh, listen, no, darkness is gone because the veil has been removed because the Spirit of God now comes into your heart. Now, listen to me. If you want to be free, if you really want to be free, if you want to get away from a life of emptiness, listen to me now. There is only one message in the entire universe that can penetrate an empty heart, those who are without Christ. And it's the Bible. It's the gospel. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Here's how it happens. Who believes in their heart? Who believes? Whether it be the Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter, the Greek, everyone can be saved. Only God's word, nothing else on earth, nothing can penetrate your heart, nothing can change you except the good news. And once that callus keeps building and building and building and building on your heart, and maybe you're getting older in life right now, maybe you make fun of the Lord, mock him, your heart gets harder and harder and harder. And what happens? It says, who being past feeling. What a word. You know what that word means? Past feeling means literally to cease from feeling any pain, to cease to even care. The empty walk of those without Christ Jesus. They have a heart that cannot feel a thing. A heart that is so hard, they suppress only the feelings that are connected with goodness. They've reached a point where their conscience no longer bothers them, no longer can touch your heart. Why? It's calloused. It's cauterized. It is seared. 1 Timothy 4:2, it says the conscience has been seared with a hot iron, dead to any feeling, dead to any guilt, dead to any shame. And there's only one person that can give you, remove a calloused heart, a hard heart, a diseased heart, and give you a brand new heart. And that's God. It says in Ezekiel 36:26, and I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you, and I'll take that heart of stone, there it is, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Not a stony heart, a soft heart, a heart that will follow the Lord, a heart that's no longer empty. And listen, and here's the thing, when you're past feeling, you know what happens then? You know, maybe you're listen to me, you're doing things that you know that they're horrible. And you know why you're doing them? Let me tell you why. Because you have given yourself over to lewdness. Have given themselves over. It means to turn yourself, give yourself into the hands of another. It means literally, I'm handing myself over. A complete surrender of who I am, of self. And I'm abandoning myself to lewdness. That means every type of impurity. It means you've lost all feeling of shame. You're desensitized to sin. Listen to the definition of lewdness. Wanton conduct that shocks public decency. It's when they do not try to hide their sin. They don't care what people think. They don't care what God thinks. It matters not who sees their shame, so as long as I can gratify, or as long as he can gratify his desires. Let me tell you something. That is emptiness. That is the empty walk. When Roman and Paul writing at the Roman in Romans 1:24, he says, oh, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust, not of their flesh, the lust of their hearts. Ooh, man, that's a bad one. Now, it's not up here. It is here to be handed over to sin to the fullest measure. It's unbelievable. And we see it in our world today. And let's look at this last one. They've been turned over to do what? To work all uncleanness with greediness. The word work means to practice, or literally to do business. In other words, sin is this person's business, okay? And it means to practice every kind, look at that word, all, every kind of uncleanness, every kind of moral impurity. And how do they do it? With greediness. What does that mean? It says, in other words, it's, I have to have more. I have to have more of this now. It gets deeper and dirtier and more ugly. It's never satisfied. Lust is never, ever satisfied. The desire for more and more, the person, he doesn't care who he hurts to get it. He doesn't care what method he uses to get it. He wants it. And you know what? They remain empty. Why? Because to them, the empty people, the lost people, self is everything. They're lovers of self more than lovers of God. Self is everything. Nothing matters but self. That is the empty walk of those without Christ Jesus. And by grace, on that beach in Florida, you may be in a Sunday school or a church room or on the radio or on TV, wherever it might have been, a friend, relative, leading you to Christ. Thank God, by grace, we are no longer those people. Am I beating them up? No, I love everybody, man. But I'm telling you, listen to me now. We've been saved through by grace, through faith, and I thank God for that. Look at verse 20. But you, now it's in contrast with what we just learned, but you have not so learned Christ. Amen. We haven't. We're saved. We're walking with the Lord. We're walking in the light. We're walking in wisdom. We're walking in love. We're not walking in emptiness. Now listen to me. You say, well, Bill, that was written 2,000 years ago to the Ephesians, a bunch of pagans, worship Diana or whatever. No, listen to me now. There's no difference between the first century lost empty person and the 21st century empty lost person. Nothing has changed. Man has not changed. The sad, horrible, empty walk of the lost. Now listen to me. I hope you haven't turned me off. If you're empty, it means you don't know the Lord. Would you allow me, as I'm closing, I want you to listen out the word empty, defined. Just listen. Empty, unfilled, uninhabited, unoccupied, meaningless, purposeless, bare, hollow, vacant. That's what it means to be empty. But if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God Almighty promised, I'll save you. If you believe upon my Son, Jesus Christ, he said, I will save you. Scripture says in Ephesians 5:14, awake, you who sleep, meaning you're the empty life, you sleeping. He says, wake up, arise from the dead, meaning get out of those sins and trespasses, and Christ will give you light. You can come right now. Listen to me. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. Maybe you need to rededicate your life right now to Jesus Christ. Maybe you are lost and you are empty. Maybe you've turned back to empty things. Listen, you need to right now, you need to pray with me. And here's what you're going to do immediately after you pray this prayer. I want you instantly, you're listening online, right there at your computer, your phone, you email me at info@loveneverfails.com. Here it is, info@loveneverfails.com. I want you to come to Christ. I want you to get your life right. I want you to be saved. God loves you. He wants to save you right now. He wants to fill your empty heart. Pray with me. Say, Father, I repent. I rededicate my life. Oh, Lord, I'm backslidden. I come back to you. Whatever it takes, oh God, come fill me again. Lord, I'm lost. I'm empty. I'm sin. I'm full of sin. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. So right now, Jesus, please come fill my heart. Jesus, come be the Lord of my life. Oh, Jesus, come save me right now. For I believe in you. In Jesus' name. I'm saved. You prayed that prayer with me. Listen to me. You're saved. You're saved. You email. I want to know. I want to send you a book. Welcome to the Family of God. Give me your address. info@loveneverfails.com. I want people who rededicated their lives to the Lord. Those who said, I've backslid and I just got right. Please, in Jesus' name, would you email me as I look here in this empty chapel. I know you're there. God loves you and I love you. Father, bless this day. Bless those right now, Father. Bless the sheep of your pasture. Oh, Lord God, bless Calvary Chapel. Bless everyone that is listening. And I pray Psalm 91 over all of them, Lord, that no perilous pestilence will ever come nigh their dwelling. We give you praise. We give you honor for all that you have done right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God is good. I love you dearly.